Today's scripture is taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, and it's a story about feeding the 5,000. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world."
Thank you, Agnes.
So I continue a Sunday sermon series on looking at different scriptures about children in the Bible, in the Gospels particularly, and how they encounter Jesus or what Jesus says about children in the Bible. We are in the season of Lent that will lead up to Good Friday on April 14th, and during this time of Lent, it is a time for us to prepare, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in that wonderful, blessed Easter day of resurrection. And in this time of preparation, we are encouraged to fast, to reflect, and to be in prayer. Let us pray now. Gracious and loving God, I ask that these words I speak your truth, that they reflect the word as present in the gospel, that we may learn from these words to know their message for us today, and that you hear the reflections that we have, to know that these reflections are in our hearts and on our minds, our thoughts, our desires, our will for you, Lord, as you have a will for us. In your Son's name, amen. So we're going to do a little bit of Bible study, shocker, during sermon time. Everyone hopefully knows the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We call this one of the gospel parallel stories. What this means is, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are many accounts and stories, but some of these accounts and stories are not in all 4 Gospels. For example, the account of Jesus' birth and some of the things that happened during his birth are not present in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all 4 Gospels, but only present in Matthew and Luke. There's an account, though, of Jesus overturning the temple marketplace tables when he is angry at seeing all the market people selling things in the temple yards. That is in all 4 Gospels. The account of Jesus encountering a Samaritan woman by the well is not in all 4 Gospels. But this morning's passage does appear in all 4 Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and John. But there is an interesting thing that happens in this morning's scripture passage from John. And we're going to examine all 4 Gospels and to see the difference that happens in this morning's passage from John. So here is the challenge. I'm going to break you up into 4 groups. And in your groups, or as you are seated, I encourage you to look in your Bible, whether it's the Bible in the pew in front of you, or whether it's your own Bible that you've brought to worship service, or even I know some people have the Bible on their cell phones. But I encourage you first to pull out the Bible then. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll start with this group of people here, maybe everyone from Susan and John Ford. You are the Matthew group. And I invite you now, if you are able in this group from Susan and John Ford, those pews, to turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. So I invite you, if you're able, in this first group, Susan and Sean included, and everyone in front of them, to turn to Matthew 14, verses 15 to 21. Okay. And now the next group would be Iva, Sean, and Kenneth, and everyone behind them. I'd ask you to turn to Mark 6, the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 35 to 44. So you are the Mark group. Do we have some people? I see Aaron on his phone. I see Susan has her phone out. And Iva maybe has the Bible out. So that Mark group is reading Mark 6, verses 35 to 44. And maybe someone can fill in Al and Gail because they have their Bibles with them as well. Okay, then we'll go to this back group here. Maybe Angela and everyone behind her. If you could turn to the book of Luke. And I'd like you to look at Luke 9. Verses 12 to 17. So that back group is Luke 9, verses 12 to 17. Okay. And then everyone with Josh and Agnes Ford, your group is from John chapter 6, verses 4 to 14. John chapter 6, verses 4 to 14. And we'll give this last group some time to find John chapter 6, verses 4 to 14. So I invite you now to read the passage, but think about these three simple questions. This is sort of like Bible study 101, but the unique thing about this is you are all reading the same account, the same story of Jesus feeding 5,000 or more people. Think about, as you're reading the passage, who says, "Send the crowds away so they may go into villages and buy food for themselves." Which person or group of persons is the one that tells Jesus to send the people away, if it says that in your passage? Also think about, what does Jesus say in reply to being told they have to send the people away? What is Jesus' reply to that? And then third, think about who then finally supplies the 5 loaves and 2 fish that results in this wonderful miracle of feeding over 5,000 people. So as you're reading the passage, think about who says send the crowds away. Think about how Jesus replies to that request to send the crowds away. And then think also the last question about where does the 2 fish and the 5 loaves and 2 fish actually come from? So I encourage you now to take maybe 2 minutes to read that passage and think about those answers. And Andy, you can pick which one you want. The third question is, who supplies, or where does the 5 loaves and 2 fish actually come from? It's a little bit of a trick question, but you'll see. So to move us along, I'd like to start answering those questions and thinking about what you had read in the scripture passage, whether you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Remembering this is the same account of Jesus feeding over 5,000 people. So for the first question, who says, send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves? Or some version of that, saying basically to Jesus, send the crowds away. So I'm just going to kind of point to this group, and this group. And if you can, just answer. You can do it in unison, or one brave person from your group can answer. So Matthew, who says, send the crowds away? Disciples. Okay. Mark, who says send the crowds away? Disciples. Luke, who says send the crowds away? disciples, John, who says, send the crowds away? No one. If you remember the passage that Agnes read and this group just read, no one says that. Interesting. Okay, let's go on to look at the next question. And what is Jesus' reply when he is told to send the crowds away? Matthew. Yes, they need not go away. Give them something to eat. Thank you. Mark, what is Jesus' reply? Give them something to eat. Luke, what is Jesus' reply? Give them, you're seeing a trend here, right? Okay, now watch this. John, what does Jesus reply or say? He asked and said, where are we to buy bread for the people? Interesting to see what Jesus is doing in this different passage. Okay, and the last question then, where does the five loaves, or who, where from, or who gives the five loaves and two fish? So Matthew, does it say where the five loaves or two fish come from? Say that again, May. Yes, yes, yeah. So the disciples do say, we have nothing but these five loaves and fish, and Jesus says, bring them here to me. But we're still not sure where the disciples got that from. Okay, and then the Mark group, where do we see the fish coming from and the loaves coming from? They just appeared like the goldfish. I like that. Yeah, you know, it is also similar where Jesus does ask the disciples, how many loaves you have, go and see. And then it says, when they had found out, they said five loaves and two fish. So you're still not quite sure of the source of these five loaves and two fish. You don't know if they were hidden in the disciples' bags or if the disciples did go out and ask people in the crowd. But even then, they still only came up with five loaves and two fish. And now the Luke group, where does the items come from? Where do you find out? Yes, it doesn't quite say. Maybe the disciples are saying we have no more than five loaves, but you don't know who the we are exactly. Very good point. And then John, where do the five loaves and two fish come from in this version of the story? Zachary, a young boy. It does say a youth in some versions of the New Testament reading, or a young boy. So we have a clear person in this last passage from John who we know brings forth the items, or is the source of these items. The reason I want us to look at these passages, it is the same account, but it is told through different lenses. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very, very similar, but we have this special reading of the account, a special version of the account in John 6. And I want us to look then at this account to learn from actually all four Gospels, but also specifically from this account, very important things about what God does for us. God, one, makes all things possible. God also prepares us, each and every one of us, for our own calling. And God also uses all kinds of people to do his work, even those who you would not suspect to do God's work. First, let's look at how God prepares all of us for the calling he has. If you remember, I often talk about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus tells the disciples, and we now follow that Great Commission, that we must go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in God's name. So God wants us to fulfill this Great Commission, and Jesus, when he was working with the disciples, was teaching them how to fulfill the Great Commission. But you need to understand a little bit of the background of the account of feeding of the 5,000. As Jesus has begun his ministry, he was becoming more and more of a threat to the rulers, the people who were corrupt at that time. And the rulers and the people who were corrupt at that time, they were afraid of Jesus and other persons who were gaining more and more power by teaching and telling about the Word of God. Another such person was John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was special to Jesus. Not just a cousin, but John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And just before Jesus is in this morning's passage, as he and his disciples are traveling, they have heard word that John the Baptist was beheaded. His beloved cousin, his beloved pastor in a way, the person that baptized him, was beheaded. So imagine the frame of mind that Jesus and the disciples had as they were traveling from town to town and still spreading the word of God. And you can see why maybe the disciples were frustrated towards the end of this evening's account. In the account in the evening, it was the end of the day, they had been traveling, Jesus had been preaching, and all these crowds had gathered. They say that over 5,000 people had gathered on that hillside or that area where Jesus was. And the disciples, they don't want to deal with that crowd anymore. They were probably worried about Jesus. They were worried that he might have been mourning still about what had happened to his cousin. They were worried about the crowds that had gathered, and they themselves were hungry. So they tell Jesus to send the crowds away. Or in this morning's passage, Jesus understands the need of needing to feed the people, and he right away asks who has bread and items. But you need to remember that God prepares us for his calling. He gives us gifts and talents. We are all able to tell about the good news of God. You did it just now, this past exercise, when I had you read a scripture passage, and as you were reading the passage, you were asked to ask certain questions. You were able to recognize who says send people away, and to know that the disciples' actions were wrong. You were able to recognize and see Jesus' response that these people must be fed, give them something to eat. And you were able to recognize where the 5 loaves and 2 fish might have come from, whether it was disciples or people in the crowd, or specifically a youth or young boy. You are in a way already starting to fulfill your call to spread God's word by just reading the word, by reflecting about it, and by talking about it. You are being prepared by God to go out into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. God prepares us all for our calling. We don't want to then be like the disciples that, as prepared as they were, some of them were fishermen who Jesus said, "Put down your nets and come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they had answered yes. And some of them had given up and left their families, left their homes, left their work to follow Jesus and spread the word. But yet in this time when they were challenged to help others, to feed others, not just physically, but spiritually, they said no. They were unprepared. They stopped believing that God prepared them for their calling. God wants us to trust him fully, to know that he will take care of us, that he will surround us with church, with Bible studies, with devotion groups, with fellowship groups, all these things that we need to build up our own spiritual disciplines so that we are prepared to fulfill our calling as Christians to make disciples of the world. So in this morning's passage, it starts with a reminder that we are called by God to do that, to be like Jesus, who was not just sharing the word, but also sharing God's love as he was feeding the people. We must also remember that God makes all things possible. And sometimes you think, well, that's not true. I want to have the biggest home, or I want to find the perfect spouse, or I want to have this great job that I never have to worry about. Those are things that we want to be possible. They're not always things that God wants to be possible in our lives. And we must not confuse the two. We say God makes all things possible, but these are all things that he knows we need in our lives, not the material things we desire or the pride or jealousy or things that sometimes come into our lives. So when we say that God makes all things possible, he makes these things possible because he knows this is what we need. So what we need is sometimes different than what we want. And in the season of Lent, we really do need to discern what we need versus what we want. You know, I always encourage you to give up something or take on something for Lent. So my friend who, as I share with you every year, tries to give up rice for Lent, imagine not eating rice for 40 days, suffers so much. You know, we have to have a meal with her, and I and our friends, we start saying, well, let's go for Thai food. Oh, no, she can't have rice, so she won't eat curry with rice. Okay, what about Japanese food? Oh, no, our friend can't have sushi. We don't want to tempt her with sushi because there's rice and sushi. And then down by down, you know, soon our list of restaurants and places we can eat becomes smaller and smaller. At one point, someone said, well, let's just go to Chipotle. We don't have a lot of time. But there's even rice in the burritos and tacos and items at Chipotle, you know. So it just got so complicated. But you need to also realize these are things she doesn't need. She's the things that she wants. And my friend understands that, and she understands that she's giving up something that she wants to remember Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he gave for her. We must remember the difference then when we say that God makes all things possible. These are things that God knows we need in our lives, not just the things we want. We also realize that Jesus, in the passage, when he recognized that God made all things possible, what did he do? And I think encourage you to look at your passage again in front of you. But in each passage, and this happens in all four of them, after he received the items, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what does Jesus do with these items? He realized that these things were given to him by God. God made these things possible at that time when he needed to use them to feed the people. So in all the passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says that Jesus then looked up into heaven. He blessed the items, and he broke the items and shared the items with the people. He looked up into heaven because he was giving thanks to God, recognizing that God had made these things possible before he blessed them and broke them and shared them. In John's passage, it's a little bit more simpler. It says in John that he gave thanks for the items. He was giving thanks and recognizing that God had made these things possible. And lastly, from this morning's passage, one of the most important things that we will learn specifically from the passage of John, this account of feeding the 5,000, is that God uses all kinds of people in his work, even people who are not always expected to be used. For in those times, and even, yes, in our times today, children are often undervalued. They are not seen as important in our culture. And even if you read the account in these other Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John passages, it will say over 5,000 men were fed, or over 5,000 men and women were fed. But children were present there as well. So we see in this wonderful passage this unique thing, a reminder that God is going to use someone that everyone else overlooks. He used that youth, that boy, to perform the miracle. We all need to learn from the youth and that boy that came forward with his items. We learn the lesson of hospitality and how we as adults can be better when children we are present. For isn't that the case, where as adults we are always better when children are present? You hear of stories of mothers who drink and smoke, and once they find out that they are pregnant, they stop drinking and smoking. Or maybe a father who has a motorcycle or a dangerous habit of, you know, surfing or skateboarding, but once they know they're becoming a father, they sell that motorcycle and get the sedan. Or I know last night at the wedding that I was at, some parents didn't have their children with them because children were being watched by grandma or grandpa. So we had some parents go wild because the children weren't present. You have pictures to prove it, too. But it is true. When children are present, we are different. We are better people. We want to be great and wonderful examples for them, so we live our lives and do better, and we teach our children as well morals. It doesn't mean, you know, it's not just moms and dads, but it's aunties and uncles or church members. Even if you don't have children, we all nurture all the children here at church. And from this morning's passage, we can learn from this young boy who did the story of hospitality. For you know, in this morning's passage, it also says it was the season of Passover. And the season of Passover is a big festival or celebration. Imagine Chinese New Year, and you're gathering with friends and family for Chinese New Year. No one would dare show up to a wonderful Chinese New Year event without any food. So in this celebration of Passover during Jesus' time, people most likely had food with them. But when it came time to eat, the people were not willing to share their food. But it was only a young boy who brought forth his barley loaves and his fish. And because the boy was willing to share, Jesus was able to thank God for these items, and God provided. We can learn from this young boy how we must remember hospitality, to share what we have with all people, and then we will have plenty, to not hoard our items, but instead to share and follow the example set forth by Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving Father, we have heard your words through the Gospel of John and the other Gospels as well. The wonderful miracle performed with the feeding of over 5,000, but knowing it also started with a young boy who shared, who was willing to give unselfishly. And for Jesus, who remembered this and gave thanks to you, Lord, for all that you had provided. For then Jesus fed the people, not just physically, but spiritually as well. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, continues to feed us spiritually as well, so we are always remembering of the great gift of his sacrifice on the cross for us. In your Son's name, amen.